Well, hey friends, welcome to my weekly Q&A session. Every week I come with five questions, usually something related to what I've been teaching on this week. And today I have five questions all about finding God's vision for our lives. Few quick housekeeping things. If you are new to my ministry, I encourage you to check out the links below, my website, my churches in New England. I'll be traveling. I'm going to be in the UK in the month of February in Manchester, Liverpool, Wales, and London. I'd love to connect with you there. If you just want to meet, have a cup of coffee, I have one date free if you're a pastor or group that has a church there. Drop me a line and let me know. Hey, I have a book out I'm teaching on this month called Personal Vision. You can pick up a copy on Amazon, or if you'd like a digital copy, we will give this free today to everybody who signs up for our email newsletter. Link below. I encourage you to get a copy and work through this. It is truly life-changing. Good. Lastly, a big thanks to all of the partners and friends of my ministry as well. We appreciate you and your faithful support of our ministry. You enable us to travel, to go to places we couldn't normally go. So we are grateful and thankful for you. Good. Let me jump into this. Question number one says this: how do I know if I'm sensing God's vision for my life or simply my own desires and my own imagination? Now, I think that's a great question. It's a legitimate question. And it is a question that nearly everybody, I'm sure, frankly, everybody will ask at some time in their life. Here's the challenge and the danger with that though. A lot of people will ask that question. And of course, any genuine Christian does not want to fall into the place where we're spending a life building a vision upon our own thoughts and our own desires. But what we'll usually do, the way we usually solve that problem, the way traditional Christians, evangelicals, Catholics, whatever, solve that problem is going, well, I don't want to do my desires, so I'll stay away from the whole subject. And in effect, they end up having no vision, or frankly, it's actually impossible not to have a vision. You just end up adopting by default, as nature abhors a vacuum, you end up adopting the vision of the world, the flesh, and the devil, your parents, your culture. You end up living out, you end up being an actor in somebody else's script. So I challenge you, just going, well, I don't want to be in danger, so I'll stay away from this, is not the way of doing that. My second point would be this, and you may not like to hear this, but this really is true. Usually, I would say God's main method, I mean, primarily his way of giving you a vision is his word. But the word speaks about the general vision of God for our life, not the specific vision of God for our life. Now, you may be watching this and saying, well, can God use prophecy to guide me and give you a vision? Like, can he use that? Yes. I don't think that's God's best. God wants to give you a vision that flows out of a relationship of trust, intimacy, and surrender to him. And when you're living a life of trust, of intimacy, of worship, of surrender, of a laid down life to him, he will give you that vision through your thoughts, your desires, and your imaginations. So is it wrong that we follow our own thoughts, our own desires, our own imagination? No. It's wrong that we follow our own thoughts, our own desires, and our own imagination when we're not living a life in the Word of God, in a local church, walking in the counsel of other godly men and women he's put around us, living a life that is laid down of intimacy, of worship, and of surrender to the things of God. When you do those things, then God will give you the desires of your heart, Psalm 37:23. Now, what does that verse mean? It means he will grant you what your heart desires, but it also means he will plant within your heart his desires, so your desires become his desires. And God's plan is not a life where we go, I don't ever want to do anything that's in my heart to do. No, God wants to put things in your heart to do. You know, Paul wrote in Philippians 2, and he said, work out your salvation, take it seriously with fear and trembling. And then in the next verse he tells you how to work out your salvation, knowing, believing, confessing that God is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And just to challenge you, many of us, we've heard that verse so many times that we actually, it's like the road we drive on every day. We no longer actually think what it really is saying. God is at work in you. Paul says, work out. And then the next verse, he says, God is at work in you. We work out, God works in. And God works in to do two things. Let me take them backwards, if you will. He wants to do of his good pleasure. He wants to enable you. He wants to give you the power, the follow through, the capacity to do what he wants you to do. But before, that's number two, before he gives you the power to fulfill his will, he works in you to create the desire to do his will. And sometimes we need to say, Lord, work on my desires, shift my desires. I have desires that are at times influenced by my brokenness, my flesh, the world around me. Lord, work in me the thing which pleases you. I believe it's in Hebrews 13 that says that, work in me that which pleases you. That's a great prayer to pray every day. So how do you know the difference? Let me give you my last answer. You take, write down all of your thoughts, your desires, and then bring them to the Holy of Holies. Fast and pray, seek the Lord, worship him. And I'll tell you what, guys, the things that are from God will grow and develop in the presence of God. The things that are not of God, the desires that don't come from him, will squelch and diminish and die in his presence. If you have a desire to sin, a desire to walk in unforgiveness, to hurt somebody else, if you'll come and lay down your life before the Lord, begin worshiping him, does that desire grow or does it turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Selah. Boom. Question number two says, what if I've lived most of my life without vision? Is it too late to start the process? You know, the Bible says your young men will dream dreams, your old men will see visions. So I think I should finish it right there. But let me say this, no matter how old you are, no matter how far you've gone in life, and no matter how much in your viewpoint, maybe correctly so, how much you feel you've messed up, missed the plan, walked away from God in your past, I want to say it's never too late, baby. I mean, literally, if you are watching this and it will be your last day of life on planet Earth, it would be a great prayer to pray, Lord, how do you want me to die well? How do you want me to live my life? You need to make sure you're right with God. Seriously. You need to forgive others. You need to bless others. You need to honor your parents. Even if they died many years ago, there are things God would have you do today. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do in the last day of your life. My point is, you're never too old. You're never too late. And what we've got to do when we look at vision is what Paul said. This one thing I do, I forget that which is behind. I cannot change yesterday, but I can change today and I can change tomorrow. So this one thing we do, forget that which is behind, and we press to the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. So you're never too late, you're never too old. Old men and old women see visions. See that. Question number three says, how can I be certain that God actually has a specific plan for my life and not just general principles? Well, frankly, because his word, that general word of God, tells you that he does. God has a plan for every person. I love it in John 1 when Jesus meets Nathanael and he says, I saw you under the fig tree. Nathanael knows that no human being saw him under the fig tree in that sense. Jesus is saying, I saw you in the spirit. God has a plan for everybody, but he also has general principles. It's both and, not either or. And let me just simply say this, that every single person that has ever been born or frankly created by God, we don't create, we procreate. I won't go into the details, but you know, God is the creator. Even when mankind procreates, God creates. And every person who has ever lived is individual. You know, we're all like the snowflake. We have individual fingerprints. We have the fingerprint of God on us. I would say God's put something of himself that you have that not one of 8 to 10 billion people who've ever lived have ever had in them before. You are unique, and God has a plan, a destiny, and a purpose for you. There is nobody alive on planet Earth who will walk the paths you have walked or that you will walk. So it's just common sense that God has a plan for you. Now again, you don't want to discount. Most of the finding and fulfilling God's plan is actually us walking in the general plans. And I find a lot of people in my tribe, you know, charismatics, they get way too much. They're always trying to find the prophetic plan, and they ignore what 90% of the general plans are for our life. So get the general right, and then you'll find the specifics. You know, quite often as a pastor, I might talk to a young man, a young lady who's thinking of getting married. And I will usually lay out about 8 to 10 principles to know if this is the right person. And I will start with, you know, that individual, like the witness of the Holy Spirit. Do you like them? Are you attracted to them? Do you enjoy being with them? All of those. I know, though, that those, they've usually ticked those boxes before they come to me with the question. But I still want to point out those things. And then I talk about those general things. I don't care how much you're attracted, you get on with somebody, whatever. If they can't keep a job, if they haven't worked on their character, how do they love others? How do they love children? How do they love their parents? Do they go to church every week? Do they tell, you know, just so if they can't walk in the general, I tell them, I don't care what specific leading you. Oh, I got a prophecy and a goosebump. I had a dream. I don't care about your dream if they don't fulfill the general conditions. So both and, not either or, when it comes to general principles. Question number four, what practical steps can I take to begin hearing from God about His vision for my life? Well, let me piggyback off the last question in a way and simply say this. I want to be clear, this won't take you years to do. You can do this in about 1 to 2 weeks. Get your life in order. You put your life in order in those general specific principles that God wants you to walk in. Start going to a church. You say, I don't know which one to go to. Just go to the best one you can. Find a good one. Ask somebody's advice. Contact me. I'll help you find one if you need to. Go to a good church. Turn up every week. Tithe, serve, love, worship, be there. Bring a Bible. Bring a friend. You know, just show up. Stop breathing the same air as some other Christians, if I can get that granular with you. Start reading your Bible every day. Start worshiping God. Start pleading the blood of Jesus over your life. Start finding out who you are in Christ Jesus. My point is, do all of those normal things, because if you're not doing those, you then won't enter into the specific calling of God in your life. So number one, repent if you haven't been doing the standard Christian life that God wants every believer to live. But then number two, I would say this, go on a journey with God. And this is not a journey of 1 or 2 days, but frankly, I don't think it has to take 5 years either. I would suggest you go on a journey of something like 2 to 3 months. Again, really encourage you to get a copy of this book, and we'll give you a free one, so it's not really selling a book to you, but go on and get a notepad, a pen, and begin every day asking God questions. Begin exploring, begin dreaming. Give yourself permission to get this wrong. Give yourself permission to say, Lord, okay, this could be me and not you, but what might you be speaking to me about? What when I'm with you, when I'm overflowing in worship, when I'm walking in your righteousness, what are the desires that rise in my heart? What are the things that pop up in me? Sometimes we're actually connecting with the right call of God on our life, but we're trying to do it in the wrong way. You know, if you think about it, Moses as a young man saw an Egyptian striking an Israeli, a slave, and he got angry and he went and he killed the Egyptian. Now, did God want Moses to murder an Egyptian? No, I don't think he did. But I think Moses was sort of hearing the call of God to let my people go, to stop, to end the slavery, to bring the people of Israel out of slavery into the promised land. He was just trying to do it with his own fist, with his own right hand. And in a way, it's like the Lord had to literally let him age until he had no more strength in his own hand. And God said, I'm going to show you my mighty hand, my right hand. So I encourage you, go on a journey of exploration with the Lord about the dream He has for your life. Boom. Last question here. How do I deal with past failures and disappointments when trying to embrace a new vision? Excuse me. That is a great question. And just pause. So let me sit in this one for a moment. I would actually encourage anybody who's never seriously done this to spend some quality time. Now, for me, I would probably say you can do this well in between 1 and 3 days. My point is you want to lay to rest your past. Now, there are some people in certain situations, it's helpful to do that with somebody else. I don't think you have to, but if you're really struggling and great, talk with somebody else. But make sure you have put your ghost to rest. That sounds weird, I know. You know, the very first verse in the book of Joshua, book of vision, book of new beginnings, book of entering out of slavery into the promised land. The first verse is, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise and go over this Jordan. And you need to know your past is dead. Now from God's perspective, your past is dead, nailed to the cross of Calvary. But it is possible to simply pay lip service to a theological concept that your old man is dead. And my point is, you know, you take a little bit of time, you probably do this in a day where you think through your life and allow the Holy Spirit to bring up if there's unforgiveness there, if you walk through trauma, abuse, and everybody has to a greater or lesser degree. Don't get all self-righteous about your abuse. Everybody has gone through trauma. I have the most amazing parents. I still do. They're in heaven. Like, I had an amazing childhood, great parents. They love God, but they weren't perfect. They weren't perfect parents. And I'm not a perfect parent to my kids. And so my point is, like, everybody has things they're working through. And my point is, spend some time with God, lay those things at the foot of the cross, forgive everybody, forgive yourself, let the Lord wash, cleanse, let your past be nailed to the cross of Calvary so you can be equipped to go forward. And if this is a help to you, I want you to grab the principle here, not the mechanics of this. I think there's something powerful. Let me just give you the example of unforgiveness. If you battle with unforgiveness concerning somebody for years, I would actually write out on a piece of paper that today, the 12th of January, whatever that is, you forgive this person and sign it and take communion. And here's what I want you to catch. When those feelings come back up, if those memories, those feelings come back up, go back to the paper and say, it is written. Go back to the paper and say, I'm not feeling this paper. I'm not feeling the same emotions I did when I wrote the paper. But this is my position. Here I stand. I can do no other. And if you will hold that position, that posture, that standing, it's like a legal thing. I am legally an American citizen. I may not feel American. I certainly don't sound American, but I am American. Yeah, I went to get my son a passport the other day. We thought my younger son had to apply for citizenship, and then we found out, no, he already is because I am. Yeah, it doesn't matter what I sound. I have the certificate. It's a legal posture. You are legally free, but you need to set others free. And I would take some time, you know, pray, forgive, release your past, and then write that down if you need to. There's a place where you don't need to go back to the paper anymore, but it don't live by how you feel about your past. Settle some things with God. Settle them in the Spirit. And then when the accuser of the brethren comes, say, like Jesus did, it is written. And if you'll keep resisting Satan, he will flee. Selah. Thanks for watching, guys. Bless you. And I'm speaking good over you today. Let me know if I can pray for you. And again, encourage you to get a copy of this book from Amazon, or we'll send you a free copy when you sign up for our email newsletter. Thanks for watching again, and see you real soon. God bless you.